Thanks for tuning in. You're listening to the best animated shows ever, so far, with MC and Troy.
I'm Troy.
And I'm MC.
And this is the best animated shows ever, so far, where we watch, discuss, and rank every animated show ever, eventually, including Rurouni Kenshin, which we are talking about this week. We're wrapping up our conversation on Rurouni Kenshin by talking about episode 3, which is called Swordsman of Sorrow, The Man Who Slays His Past.
Yep, pretty much. And I think that title's very apt for this.
Yeah, but I think both of those titles, we were just joking over on Too Young for This Trek about how animes can have multiple titles for an episode. But both of these titles work. He is both a swordsman of sorrow, and also he is definitely a man who slays his past, which we get into in this one. But we start off not with that. We start with, I forgot her name, MC. What's her name? Cammy? The girl? Kyrie? Nope, that's Kingdom Hearts. I forgot what they call her in this. I mean, I can see on the wiki her name is Kamiya Karu, but yeah, Corey. They call her Corey. Anyway, Corey is, she's talking about how great everything's going. She's got Kenshi hanging out. He's pretty cool. She's got her first student, but her student is like, hey, you suck. I hate you. I just want Rurouni Kenshin to teach me how to kill people real good. That's all I want. And Kenshi's like, hey, listen, man, that's too bad. I'm not going to teach you how to use a sword because, one, I'm not your teacher, and two, I'm not going to teach anybody how to use a sword the way I use a sword. Like, his techniques are going to die with him, MC.
Well, I think his big thing is this style is to kill people. And there's no place in this world anymore for this style or this technique of samurai. You don't need to learn how to use this. You need to learn how to protect people. And that's exactly what this style of...
what Corey's style is.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. That's true. I do like in this scene, there's also more cooking. I love food in animes. It makes me happy. And specifically the cooking here is we find out that not only is Kenshi a amazing swordsman, he's also a real good cook. And they're making rice balls, and his rice balls are delicious. And the little kid is giving Corey shit, and he's like, how come you're not eating the rice balls you made? And she's like, shut up, little kid. You know the Kenshi's are better than mine. God damn it. He's better at everything. Yeah. Shit. Leave me alone.
And we get a flashback and of just how this kid is idolizing Kenshi because he's just, like, really strong.
Mm-hmm. I think it's a cool setup here of the idea that, like, well, I don't know. I don't like that the kid doesn't take Corey seriously. I understand why he doesn't take Corey seriously when Kenshi's sitting right there. But it sucks. I'm like, come on, she's the master of the dojo. Like, show her some respect. This is where the police show up, right? At the dojo?
Yeah.
So there's kind of two separate things that happen here. Police show up at the dojo. Kind of like, hey, we're looking for Batusai. And right before this, Corey was having like a weird thing where she's like, what's Kenshi's story? What's his deal? And I'm like, girl, you know he's Batusai the Slayer. Like, what do you mean, what's his deal? Like, she's like, why is he on the run? No, she doesn't. Why is he? Yes, she does. That was established in the first episode.
No. That wasn't established when she was around, was it?
Totally. Because when the big dude was there, and he's like, ah, Batusai the Slayer! And then Kenshi showed him, and he's like, listen, son of a bitch, I may not want to be Batusai anymore, but I'm not going to let you tarnish my good name. And then he shoved him through the roof, or the floor, I don't remember which. So she knows he's Batusai the Slayer, and yet she's still going, why do you think he's a wanderer, I wonder? Huh, that's weird. But anyway, the police show up, and they're like, hey, we want Batusai. And the little kid's like, Batusai? Does he mean Kenshi? Which is a weird leap that he figured that out. And Corey's like, you gotta go tell him. Go, go, go. Meanwhile, Kenshi's hanging out with the two little girls, who are fantastic. Those two little girls are like my favorite characters in this show. And they went and bought some tofu, and they're bringing it home. But some swordsman police show up, and these guys are the worst, MC. The swordsman police are bastards.
You mean the police?
Well, that's what I thought the first time I watched this episode. I actually just rewatched it before we started recording. And what happens is, listen, police in the United States of America have a lot of problems right now. I am not of the all cops are bastards camp necessarily, but I am of the cop institution is a bastard sensibility. Like, I think the whole system is broken and causes cops to be bastards, even if the individual outside of being a cop is not a it's complicated. But in this show, the sword police are giving Kenshi shit. They're basically like, you're wearing a sword. That's illegal. We're going to murder you now. And he's like, but it's a backwards blade. And they're like, oh, whatever, loser. And kick him in the shins and then walk away. But then a regular police officer is dealing with the sword police officers and is like, hey, can you stop throwing citizens of this town through storefronts and shit? And the swords police officer says to regular police officer that we can do whatever we want because we got swords and we're super cool because of that. So this is like the U.S. Marshals coming into town and being like, screw you, local police officers. We're marshals. We'll do whatever we want here and we'll murder a man in the street and then call it a retribution. Did you hear about this, MC? President Trump says that you have to have that. You have to have retribution. That's how he described U.S. Marshals murdering a man, is you have to have retribution because this guy killed another guy. And so then the U.S. Marshals drove up and jumped out of their cars without announcing themselves and shot him multiple times to death. And President Trump said, you gotta have that. You gotta have retribution. The fuck is that, MC? The fuck is that?
That's a breakdown of law from what I'm hearing, and I hadn't heard about that.
This is in Portland, or maybe it was outside of Portland. But the one guy killed a Trump supporter in Portland because they got into an altercation and a Trump supporter got shot, and then like 3 days later, US Marshals killed the guy who killed a Trump supporter in the street. People who saw it said they thought that it was a gang hit because the cops drove up and jumped out of their cars and started firing so quickly. Anyway. Sword police are bastards, and they're going to start killing people. And who should show up? Not Kenshi. Instead, a little kid shows up, and he tries to get in the way. He's like, stop killing people. Like, don't kill. What are you doing? Don't kill people. And they're like, all right, we're going to kill you and you and you. And this is when Kenshi shows up.
Yeah, and then he pretty much pulls his reverse blade sword and just knocks out all the cops. Except for one.
He doesn't do it right away. He warns them. First he shows up and is like, hey, whatever these people did, how about I'll take on their crimes? You can just let them go and I'll take their crimes. Which was an interesting play because I don't think that's actually a thing you can do, Kenshi. I don't think.
No.
Like, I don't know why he thought that was going to work. Maybe if he said, hey, I'm Batusai the Slayer, why don't you let me take on their crimes? Then maybe it would have worked. But yeah, he beats all their asses, MC, because that's what Kenshi does.
And then he's like, and then there's one.
Yeah.
And he's just being a badass about it.
This is when the like general guy shows up, right?
Yeah. So essentially, this guy's one of the top police officers. And we've just seen this mysterious figure in a carriage for a little while. And he's smoking a cigar. And he's the one who has sent the police officers to look for Batusai. And then they find him in this fight with the sword police. And they're like, Himawara the Batusai, which is, of course, Kenshi's title. And he's going up against this guy who's using the Jirai style, and of course Kenshi's just way too fast, and he like disappears in front of this guy up a wall, does a flip, and then comes back down on the back of the guy's neck. It's impressive. Or does he hit him in the back?
I think he hits in the back. What? Here's the thing. It's impressive, but this whole Godspeed thing is weird in this show because I don't quite understand. I mean, I think we're supposed to take it that there's nothing supernatural in this show. Kenshi's just real fast. But the problem is...
and he has great reaction speed.
The problem is, MC, that he is really fast. And, like, it is beyond reasonable belief how fast he is. He has super speed. And nobody is acknowledging that Kenshi is actually the Flash. He is into the Speed Force.
Well, I mean...
he has a connection to it. He can tap into it. And nobody's talking about it, MC.
I mean, they do in this next scene where he's just beat up all the police and everyone's like, oh my god, that was so fast. You're really impressive. Like, they do address it.
MC, if the Flash showed up and ran up the side of the building and then made a tornado with his arms and then ran into a wormhole and popped back out of the wormhole 3 seconds before he ran into it, would your response be, wow, you're really impressive?
Yeah.
No, it'd be, what the fuck just happened? Mean, what the shit is going on? How are you so fast?
Here's the thing. In those moments, you're not using your critical thinking. You're just thinking, holy shit, holy shit, holy shit. That's all you're thinking. So yes, I can see how this crowd of people are just like, oh my god, that was so impressive.
I just pictured that as Flash runs up a building and MC's on the ground and goes, holy shit. And then he makes a whirlwind with his arms and you go, holy shit. And then he pops out of a wormhole 3 seconds before running into a wormhole that he created. And you go, holy shit.
Yeah, that's...
MC, can you get a job as a professional commentator for, like, soccer or something, please?
I'd be terrible at it.
Holy shit, did you see that? No, it's on the radio. We're listening to you. You're supposed to describe it. Anyway, this guy's like, hey, what's up? Kenshi, how's it going, man? Haven't seen you in a minute. You want to come be a cop? And Kenshi's like, no, did you just, your dumb police officer is just going to murder a bunch of people in the street. No, I don't want to be a cop. That's it.
Yeah, he pretty much is like, stop that man. The cops try to arrest him first off. But the ones that are with this Imperial general or major or whatever, and they're like, you just beat up a bunch of cops. You're a fugitive. You're coming with us. Arrest that man. And the guy just steps out of the carriage and is like, wait, stop. That man's a hero.
That guy kicked ass in the war. He killed so many people, and so I want him to come have a really good job because of killing people. And Kenshi's like, no, man, I don't want a job because I killed people. I just want to do good things now. And he's like, peace. And then he's like...
yeah, and he's like... The big guy's like, I understand you don't want to kill anyone anymore. Mm-hmm. You say you slaughtered a bunch of people, and while we don't see it that way, we see it as you... defending, and it's like, and he's
like, you killed people in the name of peace, and he's like, yeah, but we're beyond that now. Like, now I don't want to kill people, and we don't need to kill people in the name of peace.
Yeah, and he's like, and joining up to your organization, I don't really want to do that because look at what it's created, these conceited men who think they can do whatever they want. And the major's like, oh, crap, he's right. These guys were kind of bad. But, like, these cops, these sword cops weren't... yeah, these weren't on the right side of justice. And it was just like
the big debate here is he's like, I wield a sword for peace, not for power. And the guy's like, you can't protect people with just one sword. And Kenshi's like, dude, look around. And he says, with this one sword, I can protect everyone in my community, which is a really sweet sentiment. And then he puts his hand on Corey's shoulder and the little kid's shoulder, and he goes, especially those I really care about. And I'm like, man, everybody else is like, wow, all right, cool.
And the major dude is just like, all right. He just lets him go with his sword.
That kind of surprised me. I he was very accepting of Kenshi turning him down for the position and then just being like, peace. Like, I was expecting more resistance there. I assume that this is going to be an ongoing story in some capacity. But, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And of course, that guy's going to turn back up and be like, hey, we need help with whatever this problem's happening. And of course, Kenshi's going to be like, oh, I don't know about that. And of course, something's going to happen to one of his friends. And he's like, well, now I got to get involved.
Like he does every episode, at least the three we watched so far. That's what happens every time.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. And then the little kid is like, hey, that was super cool. I want to learn from you now, Corey. Please teach me. And she's like, F off, kid. You little jerk.
And then they have a big fight right at the end. And, of course, Kenshi just looks out over the river and he's just like, ah, what a wonderful sunset. While they're fighting.
I like Kenshi. I like his attitude towards things. So just like, Kenshi strikes me as somebody who's like, man, I just want to sit here and like smoke a bowl and just chill out, like, listen to some birds singing or something. Like he strikes me as somebody who just wants to chill, and shit keeps happening around him. He's like, ah, fine. Like he's not going out looking for trouble. He just wants to hang out.
Because we get a bit of his backstory and like a peek into his past in this episode, it's like, oh, I can understand why he might be like that. Like,
yeah,
he's Battiside the Manslayer. Like, he killed hundreds of people, slaughtered them, essentially, in his own words, to create peace. And it's just like, ooh, yeah, I can see why he might not want to. Yeah. That he helped create,
essentially. It's like in Hamilton. He wants to sit under his... What is the line? In Hamilton, MC, what does George Washington say when he wants to stop being president? I want to sit under my fig tree.
I'm not interested in Hamilton at all. It's American history, and I have no interest whatsoever.
Have you?
I got like 15 minutes into. Yeah, I got like 15 minutes into the show, and I was like boring, and switched it off.
Huh. Okay. That's fine.
It's all American history, and I'm just
it's literally a show about American history. Yes.
Yeah.
I like it for the music more than the history, but that's fine. That's fine.
I've heard a few of the songs. I agree. Some of the songs are great, but there was more like it just kept going on, and I wasn't enjoying it. I was like, some of this stuff I already know and don't care about because it happened halfway across the world. Like, I had to learn American history in history class, and it was, like, so boring.
Hey, that's... And you know how much we learned about Australian history in my history classes?
None.
Not a damn thing. I don't think the word Australia was ever mentioned inside of a history classroom in my entire education.
Yeah. That's because America doesn't see anywhere else in the world as having history. How much did you learn about European history? How about African history, including Egypt?
Very little to none at all. To be fair,
exactly.
To be fair, I also didn't learn jack shit about American history either. Our education just sucks in terms of history. They're like, anyway, white people showed up and they made it a better place, and then the black people got really mad about it and there was a fight. The end. That's American history as far as American history is concerned. Actually, you know what? That's not even true. They don't even get up to the civil rights movement. They're just like, white people showed up, Abraham Lincoln happened, there was a civil war, and everything's been fine since then. Don't worry. Don't look at civil rights. Martin Luther King? Who's that? We don't talk about him. Nope. Mm-mm-mm.
So I learned more about American history than you did, because I learned a whole bunch about the Native Americans and the different tribes and how they were rounded up and put into reservations and all
that sort of
stuff.
Oh, God, they don't want to talk about that.
And how that related... And how about how it relates to what happened in Australia with the Aboriginals and... Mm-hmm. So, you know, here in Australia, part white children of Aboriginals were taken away and put in essentially into, like, homes and stuff because they were part white.
I did not know that, but...
And there was a law put into place to try and get more part Aboriginal, part white... babies, essentially, so they would breed, because after about four generations, they would breed out the color in the skin.
Oh, gosh.
It was a really racist policy that happened in Australian history. You have no idea about that. I do, because...
I hate that.
I, like, our history is like, hey, here's how Australian politics messed up in the past. Let's try not to repeat that. Yeah.
What a novel concept. Listen, if you're in America and you aren't voting, the fuck's wrong with you? Go vote.
Oh. I also have something else to add for Americans.
Mm-hmm.
Like Troy's pointed out, your education system is kind of messed up and you don't learn a lot. Even in college, like, I didn't go to university or college myself. I instead went and looked up everything I wanted to learn by myself and taught myself, because that's what school was supposed to do. It was supposed to teach you how to learn things by yourself. So after high school, I went and learned as much as I could by myself. I suggest you go do the same thing, because it helps you become a more informed and intelligent and passionate and empathetic person, because the more you learn about the world around you, the better you can interact with that world in an ethical way. Much like Kenshi.
Hey, MC, I was going to ask you if this recording time worked for you to be our regular recording time, because it's convenient for me, but also because we get fucking weird when we record at this time. I don't know what it is about the energy, but it's weird, and I like it.
Well, we also just come off, like, a back of recording our other podcast. I'm completely fine with this time.
I think, yeah, let's try it. Anyway, hey, MC, it's time for the best and the worst first, MC.
The swords policemen, the guys who were just, like, wrecking house and beating people up and about to execute four innocent people. Yeah, mm-hmm. Those guys.
Yeah. Yes, I agree. And specifically seeing in action the shitty cops forcing the cop who was trying to do the good thing into standing down was awful to see right now, because that's the thing I think happens, is that I think the institution of police in America and in a lot of other places empowers the shitty people to stop the good people from stopping them, basically. And that's I think the problem with our policing system. And so seeing that,
not just in America,
in this, yeah, I know, not just America, but yeah, seeing that kind of enacted was like disheartening. Like I was distressed by this episode. My best thing though was a particular line that Kenshi had before he attacked the police officers, where he tried to make peace with them, and then he realized that wasn't going to happen, and so he then began to draw his sword and said, which of you wants a quick trip to an early grave? And I was like, shit, like he is not messing around with that. That is intense. It is interesting because we know he doesn't kill people, so he's not actually sending any of them to an early grave, but it was still an intense line.
My favorite bit is, so I'm not sure if this came out after Dragon Ball Z or before it, but there's definitely that shadow, I'm moving so fast, there's a shadow version of me there. Moment, I really enjoyed that, but it's right when the guy's about to slash him in half with his sword and Kenshi just moves so fast up that wall and there's like a blurry version of him left and the guy just hits the ground, and it's like, I really enjoyed like that whole sequence of like him moving just so fast and like knocking all these police guys out.
The action on this is pretty cool. It's an interesting show because it's not super action heavy. Like it's had an action scene each episode, but it's got a lot of like conversation and plot as well. It is less of an action anime than I think I anticipated it being.
I very much enjoy the moral center of the whole show, being Kenshi was this essentially killer during this war. And now that it's peacetime, he's like, no, that's over with. We don't do that anymore. I really enjoyed this show when I watched it when I was younger. And I really enjoyed it watching these first three episodes again.
I did too. And that sounds like a good time to transition, MC, to the big list. Right after these messages.
Too young for this trek. The final frontier. These are the voyages of
MC,
Troy,
and Eric.
Their mission to introduce Tyler to strange new episodes.
To seek out the best and worst media in the Star Trek franchise.
To boldly go where several podcasts have probably gone before.
You can listen to these goobers talk about Star Trek by searching for Too Young for This Trek or by visiting probablywork.com.
And we're back.
We are back, MC, and we have no mail this time. Nobody had anything to say about Rurouni Kenshin, which is fine. So we will instead go to the big list. The big list, which currently has 28 shows on it, MC, starting with Batman the Animated Series, running all the way down to Legend of Zelda. In between, in the number two slot, you've got Samurai Jack, My Hero Academia, Dragon Ball Z, Batman the Brave and the Bold, Dragon Ball, Gargoyles, Darkwing Duck, X-Men the Animated Series, and Attack on Titan rounding out the top 10. Do you think this goes in that top 10, MC?
I think it does. Yeah? I think it's definitely above Gargoyles.
Ooh. I would not put it above Gargoyles. Right below Gargoyles is Darkwing Duck. I could put it between Gargoyles and Darkwing Duck.
You reckon there?
I could deal with that. Okay. It'd still be below Dragon Ball see that. And Dragon Ball Z Kai. Yeah. Yeah, let's put it in at the number 8 slot. So it'll bump Darkwing Duck down the list and come in right behind Gargoyles. MC, I might be a little biased in this because I've actually been watching Gargoyles this week. I'm really loving it. And so fresh on my mind how good that show is. But I feel like this has a similar thing of like of characters I like and interesting ongoing stories, but I think I'm more
just based on the first three. Yeah. Well, I mean, the Gargoyles had a more continuous storyline, whereas this seems like...
It's very more disjointed to me. Like, yeah. I mean, it's had... The plot has carried through, but each of these has felt like a different thing. And realistically, that second episode was a drag for me. I liked the first episode of Verona Kitchen a lot. I liked the third episode a lot. But that second episode was really dry.
Yeah, I could see that.
But I'm okay
that,
with
yeah.
that. We'll give it the 8 spot. I'm okay with that. And with that, MC, then, it is time for us to figure out what we're going to watch next. So, I've just sent you a link to the tweet where we asked for episode suggestions. I also have the Discord chat opened up where we asked for suggestions. And we're doing a space-themed show. The question is, how many do we want to pick? There's too many suggestions we got. I don't want each of us to just do two. Do we want to do three or four each? What do you think?
Let's go with four.
Four each. Okay. Do you have a first pick?
I do.
All right, what do you got?
Cowboy Bebop.
Cowboy Bebop. Of course, of course, of course. Let me go... write these down so I remember what we're doing. What's going on here? Here we go. Space. Cowboy Bebop. All right. For my first one, I'm going to put on a recommendation from Daniel K, which is called Captain Simian and the Space Monkeys. It's like Star Trek, but with monkeys.
I'm trying to think. I saw one on here. I'm just trying to see if I can find it so I can give... the right person. Oh, it was Eric. So Eric suggested Futurama, and I got to agree. Like, we got to have that on the list.
Tyler's been suggesting Futurama as well for ages. Let's go with Outlaw Star. Which Corey recommended, and I know very little about, but I think he described it as being similar to Firefly.
I don't think I'm getting the full...
That was on Discord, that one.
Oh.
A lot of this conversation happened on Discord. Hey, y'all, if you're not on our Discord yet, what are you doing? Check our show notes and come join our Discord. We talk about cartoons and video games and Star Trek. It's fun. You can just put one on there if you have one off the top of your head, too. It doesn't have to be from that list.
I'm trying to remember what it's called. To be honest.
What is it? Maybe I can help.
It was a... I'm pretty sure I saw someone put it on... like when we asked, Might have been Tyler as well. It was like a bad show.
Was it Gilligan's Island in space?
Oh, that might have been it, but yes.
That was when we talked about.
Let's go with that. Yeah.
I think Gilligan's Planet is what it's called, I believe. God damn it. If that gets picked, I'm going to be so mad that I said that. my last one is going to be Exo Squad, a cartoon that Justin Aki reminded me exists. So that gives us six. Are we doing, we said three each or four each?
Four.
Okay, we still got two more to do.
I'm thinking like Buzz Lightyear.
Buzz Lightyear of Star Command. I remember watching that show.
Yeah, that one. Yeah, I remember seeing it once.
Buzz Lightyear of Star Command. I think that show might actually be good. Maybe?
Yeah.
Just going through the chat again. Apparently I was the one who brought up Exo Squad, and then Justin just got really excited about it. But anyway, how about... Oh, you know what, MC? How about Star Wars The Clone Wars?
Oh! Why didn't I think of any
CGI
Star Wars
one, not the Samurai Jack
one.
All right. Okay, we have eight shows to choose from. MC's going to get a D8 out. We're rolling between Cowboy Bebop, Captain Simian and the Space Monkeys, Futurama, Outlaw Star, Gilligan's Planet, Exo Squad, Buzz Lightyear of Star Command, and Star Wars Clone Wars. Or The Clone Wars. I can't remember which it's called. He's rolled the dice.
Oh, six.
It's a six. We're watching Exo Squad! Hell yeah! All right, MC. You don't know Exo Squad, right?
No, I have no clue what this show
is. It is a show completely designed to sell toys. The toys were like the size of G.I. Joe's, but they had mechs was the cool thing. So it's a show where they've got like, not like Gundam mechs, but like Ripley's lifter in Alien size mechs. And they're flying around space and shooting each other and stuff.
So you mean it's Transformers, GoBots, He-Man. There was like a whole bunch of those shows made just to sell toys back in the 80s,
yes,
early
but,
90s.
But MC, it has mechs. Did you hear that part?
Yeah.
It has mechs. Should we watch a trailer? We've never done that before.
Oh, there was this other show that, it was like Dino something, and they rode around on dinosaurs, and that, do you remember that show at all?
That sounds vaguely familiar.
Yeah, I had a friend who used to have all the dinosaurs, and there was like dinosaurs with rocket launchers and all this other stuff on them. It was awesome.
Dinosaurs with rocket launchers, just like it hit me.
Like,
I definitely
yeah,
have a memory of that. MC, would you like to watch a trailer for Exo Squad with me?
Yeah.
All right. Ready? Here we go. Okay, there's a spinning clock with a date. Is there no volume?
No, I can hear it. It's...
Oh, you can hear it, but I don't get to hear it. Also, this is definitely a trailer for an Exo Squad video game.
Yeah.
Oh, now I can hear it.
Oh, that is definitely a video game.
Look at that mech. There's one flying around, and he's shooting balls, and another one's walking on the ground. Real slow. Look at him walk real slow. Look at him duck. You know what, MC? I think that told you just about everything you need to know about Exo Squad.
That looks like it's one of those games from like the early 90s that were impossible to play and were designed for arcades, so mm-hmm. You just keep throwing quarters at it.
Yep. How about an action figure commercial for Exo Squad? We'll just not watch any at
Hell
the
yeah.
actual show. Here we go.
The Neo Sapiens are attacking. Time to suit up. Cyberjack is on. My
Look at how cool that toy is, MC. I had that one.
That does look like a lot of fun.
This show might have terrible early CGI. I'm not sure, but it might. But you know what? We'll find out next week on the best animated shows ever so far when we watch the first episode of Exo Squad. And I did that thing again, MC, where I forgot to look this up before I started the sentence. And so now I'm having to just continue the sentence out while I look up the first episode. MC. There's two episode names per episode.
Very anime. Yeah.
Is there two stories per episode? I don't know. We'll find out. But season one, episode one is called Pirate Scourge. And also called Fall of the Human Empire Part 1. And then episode 2 is called Seeds of Deception and Fall of the Human Empire Part 2. So, okay. There's story arcs. I see. So Fall of the Human Empire is the first story arc. It's a 5-episode story arc once again, MC. So we're only going to get the first 3 parts of a 5-part story. God damn it again. How does this keep happening? Anyway,
we'll
be back with Fall of the Human Empire Part 1, Pirate Scourge, from 1993. Oh, it's going to be fun. Until next time, MC.
Don't change the channel.
Hey, he was snappy with it that time. You were ready.
Thanks for listening to the best animated shows ever, so far. Find the show on Twitter at BaseSFCast, or email us at basesfcast@gmail.com. That's BaseSFCast. Our intro music is Funnin' and Sunnin', and our outro music is Motivator, both by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.com, and licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0 license. Thanks again for listening, and tune in next time.
This has been a presentation
of the We Can Make This Work
Probably Network.
Follow us on Twitter
at Probably Work for more of our questionable content.
Also, we have a website called probablywork.com.